I think the numbers essentially reaffirm the overall trends for hospitalist medicine in that the productivity measured in RVUs per provider continues to increase, and the compensation paid to a provider continues to increase. That means that that the amount of work that a provider needs to do is increasing, but the cost for getting that work is also going up. And, you know, from a CFO standpoint, or for a company, or from a hospital standpoint, they're looking at continued increases in costs and wondering what kind of benefit do they get for that. I think we have to continue to work to help hospitals find value in programs as they look at these trends in the face of, for example, other budgets like scares with the Medicare budget throughout the spring, and now a six-month moratorium, so to speak, on any further reinforcement of the SGR formula. Mm-hmm. That will rear its head again in November. So hospitalists are looking at, or hospitals are looking at the cost of hospitalists and the productivity and saying, yeah, this shows that they're doing more, but it also continues to cost a bit more. What are we going to do to make sure that we continue to get value for the services that we need and can be able to grow the service in the future into other areas where our hospitalists could make a difference in our hospital quality, in our length of stay, and those types of things. So, you know, looking at it, it's encouraging from the hospitalist standpoint that we're seeing good productivity and we're seeing people be rewarded for that with increasing compensation. On the other hand, for companies hiring people and hospitals hiring people, it presents, you know, a picture that says, gosh, we still have to find ways to allow people to be more productive and to justify their compensation and to provide value to our partners.
There's a couple of key words you threw out there a couple of times, value, you know, the value proposition.
Mm-hmm.
In that, you know, when, it, like you said, it's a good thing that compensation continues to increase for hospitals as a group, as a field, as a specialty. But, like you said, the downturn to that is somebody's got to pay for it.
Right.
And so finding that balance, is that one of those things where the number going up may not be as important as finding the balance?
I do think the balance is part of the key to that. It's easy to focus on the fact that it seems that every person I hire, if I'm a hospital financial officer, every person I hire seems to cost me more than they did before. When is this going to change or stop? But at the same time, when you dig into the numbers, you'll find that those people are producing more work measured in RVUs. And they're producing more RVUs per encounter than they had been in the past as well. So, for example, if you looked at numbers in surveys, and this isn't just SHM, but if you looked at numbers in surveys going back 4 years or so, you'd find that average productivity measured in RVUs was around 3,600. And now what we're seeing is that average productivity is around 4,100 in the MGMA and FHM survey. Can I call you back here? Okay. So there is an increase in productivity per provider. You know, 3,600 to 4,100 is a significant increase.
Mm-hmm.
One of the trends for a workload that had been a bit concerning from a company or hospital side of things looking back was that encounters going from our 2006 survey to 2008 seems to be steady or maybe even declining. In other words, more hospitalists, but the number of patient encounters that they were seeing per year were declining. That trend appears to be reversing somewhat. Encounters look like they're also starting to go back up. But what we were essentially seeing is that workload done per patient,
yep.
the RDUs, was increasing and continues to increase. And now it looks like hospitals are also starting to see more patients per day, possibly in the last year or two, compared to what they had done before. What that should mean for a hospital is that they're getting a few more patients seen per hospital, and they should be getting much better documentation and ability to bill better for those hospital visits than they had in the past. Higher RVUs for them should mean that the physician is actually producing a bit more per patient on their own charges. And hopefully it also means that the hospital is seeing improved documentation that allows them to recuperate costs for the care better, that they're getting the appropriate DRG and that they're getting appropriate modifiers to that DRG so that they're justifying all the work that they're doing.
And now,
it's a little complicated, but that's, you know, the value proposition really comes down to not only having hospitals do good work, but having them be able to document and show that so the institution can gain value from it. Sometimes our job is to accurately reflect all the work that's done. And that may even include work by our other subspecialty colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually caring for the patient, and so are they, but we tend to focus more on keeping that chart up to date, including all of the problems and all of the procedures that have been performed. It often falls to the hospitalist to make sure that what needs to be in the chart actually gets in there.
What's just some basic advice when the new survey pops down on your desk?
Number one, I think we need to remember that each hospital organization is still distinct. Each hospital and organization has specific clients, specific needs, and folks that work within the organization each hospital, each organization has a distinct culture and a distinct set of needs that need to be met. So we have to keep in mind what the goals and the needs are when we evaluate data. Just because something happens on a national basis or something happens in the southern region of the survey does not mean that part of the survey necessarily is going to help you understand your own hospital or your own market. So you've got to keep in mind what your group, what your hospital, and what your market requires. That said, if you can keep in mind local needs, then you can look at the data and start to evaluate what parts are going to help you better formulate a practice that brings on the right people, does the right work, and actually continues to produce the amount of workload and pay people appropriately to make sure that happens in the future. And number one, you have to continue to take care of and understand your local market. Secondly, it's important to look at trends in the data over time and pick out where those trends are going to go. I think there's a caveat there for this year's survey in that there is some difference in the fact that we're now combined with MGMA
right. In
MGMA survey process, which means it's a little harder to trend data from the 2008 publication to the 2010 publication. There are some differences in the groups of physicians surveyed compared to the past, and people just need to keep those things in mind. One of the things that I would bear in mind looking at the data is that the previous Society of Hospital Medicine survey was composed of 24% of providers who listed an academic or university-affiliated mm-hmm. institution as the place in which they work. But with MGMA, only 1%.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. It means that since MGMA focuses on academic physicians and clinicians in a completely separate survey
mm-hmm.
that they'll actually go through the process of doing in September, we will help them with that, and will be published in the winter, that means that the SHM data has now changed. So you would expect that if academic and university-based practices are essentially taken out of the data, whereas they had comprised a quarter of it before, that productivity numbers will increase and compensation numbers will increase.
Right.
And that is indeed what happened. But there's some skew there because we're surveying a slightly different population.
Yep.
That might mean for if you're an academic practice leader that you really need to take a look at this and understand the overall trends maybe with regard to what you're competing against for hiring people, but at the same time, data that's specific to academic institutions is not available to that person until the winter. Yeah, I think the trend is in many ways more helpful to you than the specific number might be, especially if the trends are explainable for your local market. I had mentioned encounters and RVUs before, and one of the things that had been alarming in our market was the fact that salaries seemed to be going up in the data, and yet encounters were stable or decreasing. But if you really look at the workload that's documented, people were increasing their RVUs. And so what they were doing is taking care of sicker patients and documenting the fact that they were sicker and more complicated. So they were not able to increase the number of patients that they saw as much as they had in the past.
Uh-huh.
So if you're staffing a practice, that's a big deal, looking at RVUs and encounters together and understanding that maybe it's not realistic to expect you're going to get the same number of encounters that you had gotten on average out of a hospitalist in the past. But it is realistic to expect that documentation and coding for each patient should be improving over time. So looking at the data, there are some segments that have to do with different payment models. There's a whole variety of things to look at, actually. These include things like whether or not people are purely productivity or if they're on a purely salaried model or a salary plus productivity, a mix of the two. Are they physicians that work a variety? Do they work in an institution where they take call at night or where there is a night shift? Does that work for them? What area of the country do they live and work in? So there's a variety of subsegments to help you understand what might be going on in a particular market. I think it's tempting to highlight the areas that look positive and then ask, well, how come I, as a hospitalist, don't make as much money as someone in the South? But when you're looking at the highlights, you also need to look at all of the data associated with that sample. So all of the high-earning providers, if you really look at it, you tend to see, for example, in the South of the country, that payment is higher, or compensation for a hospital is higher. But in that same section, if you look at all the data, they produce more RVUs, they produce more charges, and essentially all their productivity data is higher. What's interesting is that if you look at the amount of money that they get per unit of work, in other words, mm-hmm. if you look at their compensation as a ratio to their collections, or their compensation as a ratio to their RVUs,
right.
Then what you see is that it looks low. So how is it possible that the highest paid providers seem to get the least amount of money per RVU done or per potentially per unit of work? The answer to that is highlighted in the survey as well, which is that the more productive someone becomes, they tend to, over time, have a decreasing marginal return on their work, which is an age-old economics concept. But essentially, as you work in a system, the more and more work that is produced, the less amount of compensation or profit is actually extracted from that increasing unit of work.
Right.
It still means that people are paid more for the work that they do, which is appropriate and good. But if someone's trying to measure their work by saying, I got paid the absolute top dollar for the amount of work I did. Well, they probably were not, they were probably on the low end of amount of work done, so they got paid a lot of dollars per encounter or a lot of dollars per RVU. But their total salary, because the amount of work done was low, will be low. Those who produce more in RVUs, they end up getting a little bit less for every unit of work they did, but their compensation is much higher. So there's a direct relationship between work done and compensation for hospitalists.
Yep.
And the more work you do, the more you make. But if you're trying to measure it in terms of, I want to get paid the absolute most for every unit of work I do, they would be disappointed to find that the more work they do, they made a little bit less for every unit they did. It's an age-old economics concept, but they got to pay attention to what they want. If they're interested in working more and making more, you can definitely do that. At the same time, though, your dollars per RVU, your dollars per encounter will drop off.